Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
It's definitely the implementer's fault. No, it's actually the project manager's fault. The customer just refuses to change. The software doesn't work. That's not a problem with this system, it's a third-party system that's the problem. But what are the real sources of blame and whose fault is it? That's what I'm going to talk about here today. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting. We're an independent consulting firm that helps clients throughout the world reach their third stage of digital transformation success. And one of the things we commonly see and hear from organizations, especially when they struggle with their digital transformations, or in some extreme cases, if they've gotten to an extreme failure and ended up in litigation, oftentimes you see a lot of finger pointing that goes around, a lot of blame. There's a blame game that goes around where you have the customer blaming the implementer blaming the customer. Maybe both parties are blaming the software vendor, and it becomes hard to decipher whose fault is it really. And so what I want to do today is unpack and demystify some of these common factors and these common themes of blame and really talk about what it means to your digital transformation to ensure that you understand not only that there's a lot of blame to go around, but also understand what some of the sources of the challenges are during digital transformations. Before we dive too far into today's content, I want to invite you to learn a little bit more about Third Stage Consulting, who we are and what we do. I've included a link to a video right here that describes Third Stage in a bit more detail. It talks about our story, our history, our philosophy, our clients, our service offerings, and that sort of thing. But in general, what Third Stage Consulting does is we're an independent and tech agnostic consulting provider. We help clients through their entire digital transformation life cycles, beginning with digital strategy, software evaluation and selection, all the way through and including implementation planning, implementation readiness, and the actual implementation itself. We're technology agnostic, so we only represent our clients' best interests. We do not represent software vendors. But having said that, we work very closely with software vendors, all the leading players that you can imagine we've worked with, both in helping clients evaluate and select them, but also in helping clients implement those solutions as well. So we have a very broad, objective, agnostic view of the market that is meant to really represent your interest as you go through your digital transformation. I also encourage you to scan this QR code right here to get access to our resource center. This resource center has a ton of information, a ton of eBooks that are free. You have access to top 10 software rankings, playbooks for how to make your project more successful, guides to change management, YouTube videos, all kinds of stuff that are going to help you through your digital transformation. So I encourage you to scan this QR code to get access to those resources. And please feel free to reach out to me directly to brainstorm ideas about your project. Even if it's just informally, you want to bounce around some ideas and get some informal advice, I'd be happy to spend some time with you. So feel free to reach out to me. I've included my contact information below. You can also find it in the description field of this video as well. One of the most common excuses for a digital transformation failure or troubled project is that the customer oftentimes will blame the implementer. And oftentimes the software vendor, if they're not the implementer, will also blame the implementer. So it becomes very easy to point the blame at the implementer if a project fails. After all, the implementer is the expert. They're the ones that know the software better than anyone. They're the ones that put together the plan. They're the ones that gave you the proposal on how the transformation is going to work. But the reality is it's a little bit more nuanced than that. It's not as simple as saying that the implementer is 100% at fault. Chances are fairly high that they might be partially at fault, but there might be something that you as an implementing organization are doing to contribute to that fault and to the failure points that go along with that. For example, oftentimes implementers will assume the best. Their assumptions behind their proposal and their project plan assume that everything is going to fall into place, that you're going to have a full-time dedicated team, that you're just going to defer to the way the software works, you're going to change your business processes to fit the software, you're going to go ahead and execute the train the trainer to get people trained quickly, you're going to do testing on your own, you're going to do data migration on your own without any hiccups. And if you assume all these things are true, which by the way is very unrealistic, but if you assume it's true, then yes, maybe the implementer can implement in the time frame and budget that they've indicated. However, more often than not, those assumptions are flawed. There's something wrong with the assumptions, and there's not a lot of rationalization or validation of the assumptions behind what the implementer is doing. So really, the implementer's involvement, you want to start questioning and start challenging and managing early on during the sales cycle when they first give you their proposal, And certainly as the project continues, you want to make sure you provide oversight and are managing the implementer rather than the implementer managing you, or worse yet, rather than assuming that you can just delegate everything to the implementer and they're just going to handle the implementation for you. There's a heavy involvement that the implementing organization needs to have in the project. They need to roll up their sleeves and be on equal footing with the implementation partner. So it's easy to blame the implementer, but there's usually a lot more blame to go around than just pointing the finger at the implementer during a digital transformation.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
There's two people that typically have a huge bullseye on them when a project starts to fail. One is the CIO at the executive level. Second is the project manager. The project manager, the person that's responsible for the day-to-day aspects of the project, is oftentimes on the hot seat when the project struggles, even if the project manager can't control some of the reasons why the project is failing. For example, if the implementation partner doesn't have the right resources on a project or refuses to provide the competencies needed to make the project successful, the project manager, who's usually an internal resource, will oftentimes get blamed for that. Another example is if the executive team within the organization haven't clearly defined what the general direction of the project is and make some of the key decisions to support the project and give the team clarity on how to execute the digital transformation, project manager again will get blamed for that if the project team isn't aligned or doesn't read the minds of the executive team to understand what it is that they want from the digital transformation. So again, it's really easy to look at a project manager and say it must be his or her fault because they're the ones that are in charge of this project. But the reality is there's a lot of complexities and nuances that go into this. So it's important to look at what the real root cause of blame is. And certainly if you have a project manager who isn't putting project governance and controls in place, isn't keeping an eye on all the details of the project, it could be their fault. But typically that's not the only reason why projects fail or why project managers get blamed. Oftentimes project managers get blamed for some of the other reasons that I mentioned, among others, that project managers oftentimes don't have control over. One of my pet peeves as a consultant in the digital transformation space is when I hear a software vendor or an implementation partner blame the customer because they refuse to change. They seem to have a sort of holier-than-thou perspective of their own software to believe that the software is perfect. The way the software works is the way the customer should run their business. And the reality is every customer is different. Every customer has a different strategy, has different operational strengths and weaknesses, has different sources of competitive advantage. And it's unrealistic to expect that at best. And at worst, it's highly arrogant for a software vendor or implementation partner to think that their software is a silver bullet or best practice. So what oftentimes happens is the vendor and or technical implementation partner will blame the customer when the software doesn't fit the business. Now, to be clear, sometimes that is a problem. Sometimes a customer just refuses to change their processes, or they resist change when the processes that the software has baked into it would work perfectly fine for the organization. But there's quite a large amount of situations with any given transformation where the software just doesn't fit well what the customer needs. And that's okay. No one system is going to provide all the needs of every single customer. The key here is being realistic about it and saying, okay, this software gives us 80 or 90% of what we need. Now we need to figure out what to do with that other 10 or 20%. And that other 10 or 20%, by the way, is usually what causes the delays, the project overruns, and all that other stuff. So rather than blaming a customer and saying that it's their fault because they won't change, they won't just use the software out of the box the way it was built, it's important to look at and understand before you get into the implementation what those gaps are so you can figure out how you're going to mitigate that risk. One of the most common phrases we hear, especially during a lawsuit failure, is a customer that says the software doesn't work. It doesn't work, there's bugs in it, the data won't flow, the customization doesn't work, the code we developed doesn't work, we can't get the reports we need out of it. And again, it's not as simple as saying the software doesn't work, because oftentimes the software does work, but the customer sometimes will do things to the software to make it not work. For example, if you customize a system, chances are pretty high you're going to break it at some point, and that could cause the software not to work. Question becomes, is that the vendor's fault that the customer changed the software? That's open to interpretation, I suppose. Another way this blame seems to percolate into a project is what I mentioned before around the software not meeting all the needs of an organization. When the software doesn't meet the needs of the organization, it might work per se, but it's not working to meet the needs of the business necessarily, and that's a challenge. And then the third thing is if an employee within an organization isn't used to the software and it doesn't do things the way they're used to things working in their old system, they're oftentimes going to blame the new technology and say the software doesn't work. Not because it doesn't work technically, but because it doesn't work the way the old system works. So it's one thing to blame someone for the software not working, but it's really important to look at all the different nuances and the layers within that part of the blame game. Now, another component of the blame game is when your software vendor doesn't take responsibility for a failure or a breakage point within their technology, but instead they blame a third-party bolt-on system. So if you've got a legacy system, for example, that you need to have for regulatory purposes or because your core system won't handle the functionality needed, you're going to have a third-party bolt-on and you're going to have to figure out how to integrate those systems. Now, oftentimes the integration doesn't work, the data doesn't map out correctly between the two systems, and it can create some challenges along the way. Oftentimes we see it time and time again, the software vendor and the technical implementation partners will wash their hands clean and say, that's not our problem, that's the third party's system's fault. Now, sometimes that's true. Sometimes there is a flaw or just a difference between the two systems. The architecture could be different, the databases could be different. There's a whole bunch of reasons why two systems might not work well together, but it's somewhat of a cop-out for a software vendor to say, it's not our fault, not our problem, talk to the other vendor. Other vendor, by the way, will oftentimes say it's not our system that's a problem, it's that system that you're putting in right now that's the problem, and then you as a customer get stuck in the middle trying to figure out what in the world's going on. So it's important to recognize that this is a common part of the blame game, and you have to be prepared for it and have the technical competencies to really dig into it, to not assign blame appropriately, but more importantly, to figure out what the root cause of the problem is so that you can ultimately solve it. So these components of blame are things to be aware of. It's something that we commonly hear during projects, especially when times get tough, when the project gets distressed, and if a project is failing or has already failed, you'll see plenty of blame going around. But again, pointing blame in a black or white binary way is generally not effective and it's not accurate in most cases. So it's important to understand the different nuances of where the blame lies and how the blame starts. Again, not to get the blame right, but so you can get to the root causes of how to fix the problem so there's no one to blame anymore. So if you'd like to learn more about implementation best practices and some of the lessons we have from having helped hundreds of organizations throughout the world with their digital transformations, I encourage you to read our ebook called Lessons from 1000 Digital Transformations. And in this book, we cover the 20 best practices and lessons learned that we have, the top 20 best practices from having helped organizations through their digital transformations. You can read that book for free by scanning the QR code here, or you can go to the description field below. So I hope you found this information useful and hope you have a great day.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.